The 150th anniversary of Frank Lloyd Wright's birth was marked last year, and it came at a time when the attention being paid to the legendary architect's impact is again on the rise. Wright has long been influential and internationally famous, but his influence has sometimes waxed and waned, and that may have been because of the message or the messengers. As of 2 years ago, Stuart Graf took over as CEO of the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation. Among his missions were clarifying Wright's continued relevance and helping younger generations understand it. I met Graf recently at Taliesin West in Scottsdale, Wright's winter home from 1937 until his death in 1959. I started by asking Graf to describe the room we were in a house designed by Wright.
We're sitting in one of three round pods that are all joined together by a common roof structure. The largest of these is a living room space. The pod that we're sitting in is an office space, and there's an adjoining bedroom and a small kitchen. And the third pod is another bedroom space. The way that this embodies Wright's work, beyond the simple geometry, because so much of Wright's work was built on simple geometry, is that if you look outside the windows, and you've got the view right now, what Wright has done is position the house, position the windows so as to frame a landscape. You're looking at the cinder cones down by Fountain Hills, and you've got this magnificent picture, almost as if the mountains and the landscape were designed to be part of this house, and in a way they were through that framing. Wright is always working on these framed views of the landscape and borrowing the landscape to become a part of the design of the home.
Frank Lloyd Wright, one of the most legendary architects of all time, certainly ultra famous even all these years later. What makes him continue to be relevant today?
Well, first, I think it's the timeless quality of his designs. You can't necessarily pin them down to a specific era, a specific social or political circumstance. His work was so visionary at the time that it was created, and he worked from about 1890 until 1959, so the end of the Victorian era to a couple of years after Sputnik was launched. And his work is so timeless that it remains not only relevant today, but if you think about movies like Gattaca, Blade Runner, things like Buffy the Vampire Slayer, his work is actually being used in popular culture to represent the future. So there is this incredibly timeless quality. But I think the other thing that makes him so relevant is the ideas, not just the aesthetic. From the earliest point in his career, he's observing nature. And what he loves about nature is that things find a way to survive. They find a way to grow. Trees find a way to balance themselves. Plants develop in these ecosystems. And his work is really all about how we create an ecosystem between the natural world, the built environment, the architecture and design, and our lives. And when you create that ecosystem that incorporates all of these things, everything thrives. So he's really the first sustainable architect.
What attracted you to Frank Lloyd Wright? When did you first know of him? When did you decide this was someone that you wanted to follow in some way?
So I was an 8-year-old boy on a school field trip in the Chicago public school system. And we walked into a building that had not been restored. It was actually quite a bit of a mess. And there were two photographs from previous restorations of the lobby. One had been a redesign by Wright. The other was by one of Wright's students or proteges, 25 or so years after Wright's work. And I asked the question, which design are you going to restore? The docent said, well, I like the William Drummond restoration, and presaging a career to come, I thought that was the craziest thing, and I said so. What I loved that I could only see through the photograph and through what remained of Wright's design in the midst of peeling paint and a covered up light well, what I could see was space and balance and the way one thing flowed into the next thing. And growing up in a little Georgian house on the northwest side of Chicago, this was really different. And what I did is with anything that I became interested in was to run to the library, take out every book that I could. And I not only found out a lot about design and architecture and Wright as an architect, but I also found out a lot about the man. And I'm a working class kid. I grew up with very, very little and very low expectations, I think, for the people in my community, mostly blue-collar folks. And here was the story of this farm kid who grows up, 2 years after the Civil War, becomes someone who's considered America's greatest architect. He is America's first great cultural export. He changes the world that we live in so much that even, you know, at that time, the early 70s, we took it for granted. We didn't realize this was rights impact. And people today have no idea that things they take for granted were once innovations created by Frank Lloyd Wright.
Some of what you said about the job that you have is to keep Frank Lloyd Wright relevant or make people realize just how relevant he is. So tell us a little bit about how you're planning to do that.
Well, we're doing a few things. The first thing that I found out when I came here, and we just celebrated my second anniversary here, I found out that there was this perception of the foundation of Taliesin West as being insular. What I heard again and again was people say, oh yeah, I know it's there, but it's not a place for me, or it's not a place for people like me. And I didn't understand that. What do you mean? Who are you that it's not a place for you? So we had to really open ourselves up to the community. Wright was building here not only a home and a studio and a workshop for his apprentices to learn the field of architecture and design, but he was also building a community organized around art and beauty and the relationship with nature. And so we immediately began to partner with organizations like Southwest Shakespeare, the Boys Choir, other organizations, and bring them up here to perform in our theaters. So we're really thinking broadly about this legacy. And then probably the piece that's nearest to me is our K-12 programming. I watch kids come up here with our summer camps, with our field trip programs, and I see kids who don't even know what an architect is. Or there was a little 10-year-old girl up here about a year ago who said that she didn't think little girls could be architects. And when I explained to her that 40% of the people in Wright's studio, including his first employee, were women at a time when less than 10% of the profession was women, and then I explained what architecture was, she goes skipping out of the store at the end of the of our discussion, holding her mother's hand, saying, "Mom, I want to be an architect." That's just awesome.
Stuart Graff, thanks for the invitation to Taliesin West and your work in Frank Lloyd Wright.
Thank you very much. Appreciate being on.
Stuart Graff is CEO of the Frank Lloyd Wright Foundation. We recorded that interview at Taliesin West in Scottsdale.